Hey guys, welcome to My Condolences, the podcast about the hilarious and harrowing stories of life after death. I'm your host, Laura Harmon, and today we have Janelle with us, and we're going to talk about her dad, Dane. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we're able to connect.
Likewise, super excited. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your dad? What was he like and what was your relationship like?
Of course. So my dad was awesome, adrenaline junkie, super fun. And my dad passed away when I was 9 years old. So I do remember that of him, of course, which was so great. But I also feel like that was taken away from me at such a young age. So even though I have great memories with him and I was so close to him, it still hurt like 1,000 times worse.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were in second grade or third grade when your dad passed away?
I'm like trying to think, to be honest. I mean, to be completely honest, these past couple of years, I allowed myself to actually relive my father's passing because the past, since I was 9 up until about 24, 25, I blocked it. I completely blocked it out. Like, I didn't even know his death date. And I have like a rib tattoo that has all of his, like the dates and everything, and I didn't even know it.
Wow.
So this is all still like, I know it now, of course, but it's still like all taken in within the past year or two.
So what was that? What was that? I mean, my younger brother lost our dad when he was 8. And I remember it being this terrible thing where you're that young, you're in elementary school, you're now the kid whose parent has passed away. It's, you have so much life ahead of you to have all these markers of your fifth grade graduation and eighth grade graduation and high school and everything else. What was that like for you going back into school? What, you know, how did that affect you as a little girl?
It was definitely really tough. I think my mom had told some family friends of friends that I had at school. So they kind of knew. And I think she told my school and my teacher. So they knew what I was coming back into and what had happened. I think it was just really uncomfortable. I felt like I didn't fit in anymore. Or I always tried to fit in. I feel like when you're in that type of age range, that's what it's about, you know, the popular. But as you get older, you realize that's not important. But back and it was all like trying to fit in, and dealing with that was really hard, and people didn't know how to approach me. Or I remember one person, I think it was one of my good friends, to be honest, still to this day, but at that age she was just like, wait, why are you still crying? Like, because they just don't know.
Right.
They were so young at that age, we'd never experienced that. So when you're dealing with or have a friend that experienced it, you don't really know how to act. But I felt like I would say like an outcast. And I've talked about this on previous podcasts as well, is they don't have a good enough system, I feel, to help children who did lose a father and are in like elementary, middle school. Like, you have a guidance counselor, but there's not really any outlet to help you at school.
Well, what are some things that you think could have really helped you at the time?
I mean, I know my mom had put me into therapy, so that was great. But in regards to school, I feel like maybe guidance counselors, maybe once a week talking with a guidance counselor as well. I feel like at that age, we need all the support we can because we're 9 and we're not supposed to be dealing with grieving a parent, a caregiver that's supposed to be with us forever. I feel like in reality, it's like we should be like, we're burying our parents, not them. But you know what I mean, vice versa.
Yeah.
We need to bury our parents.
Right. I know that they talk a lot about that. Like, people say there's nothing worse than burying a child. But when you're at that pivotal age of being very dependent on your parents, losing a parent is, I don't know about you, for me, because I was 15, it instills like a tremendous amount of fear in you when that happens at that age. It was for me anyway. I felt like nothing was guaranteed anymore. I knew that our life was always going to be different. I was always constantly scared about what was going to happen to my mom and my siblings. Did you ever have anything like that too?
I think maybe a little bit to my mom because she was my only parent left.
Right.
You know, and I still put her on like a pedestal, but not to the extent of, like, for example, with a lot of my clients, I have to remind them that even though if their father passed away, we can't put our mother on a pedestal only and forget about ourselves and our own needs because right. we want to make sure our mom's okay.
Right.
So I know that differentiation of not going to the extreme, but of course, I mean, my mom is my everything. She's my mom and my dad.
Right. Absolutely. Because there's a big difference between, like I said, when my little brother was 8 and I was 15, that I had enough, that 7-year difference of just having a dad a little bit longer was helpful compared to when, you know, my little brother, the same thing, our mom was both parents to him. And that doesn't really give the parents much of a break. You kind of mentioned this already when someone was commenting on you crying, but what was one of the funniest or worst things that someone said to you after your dad passed away, either right then or throughout, you know, later years?
I would say with someone I was with dating at the time, I think they were, and they lost their parent at older age. I think it was them saying, well, I lost my parent too. And I'm like, wait, totally different ball game. You've had your parent for over 30, 40 years.
Yep.
And I've only had my dad for 9.
Right.
You can't compare those two.
Right. It's interesting talking to people about it, that there's arguments, which I think are kind of pointless on both sides, where, you know, somebody who's had their parent for 50 years, it's harder because they're losing them longer. But I think that for us losing a parent early, we grieve our whole lives for them. So we don't get to have 50 years of uninterrupted happiness, or not happiness, but you know what I mean? Presence at least. And then to go through every big marker and not have them there is truly, I think, one of the toughest things we have to endure as children of parents who pass away early on. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about how your dad passed away?
Yeah, no, of course. So my father actually passed away from addiction, and I didn't know that at the time. At all. I was 9. I had no idea my dad was into addiction or drugs. But after, as I got older, I believe my mom had told me my dad passed away from a heart attack because I was so young. And she didn't want to open drugs to me and tell me.
Sure.
Oh, she felt like that would have shocked me way worse, because when my mom and my dad got divorced when I was 3 years old, I went through a ton of regression and had all these episodes and stuff. So she already kind of knew that was my personality. Everyone says I should be in Hollywood because I'm a drama queen. So I think my mom was trying to avoid from that. So
sure.
She waited a couple years to tell me what really happened, which shocked me at the time, but I'm kind of glad she held it off. I know some people will perceive that, oh, your parent lied to you, how do you take that? But I kind of put myself in that situation. And honestly, I wouldn't even know what I would do if I had a daughter. Like at 9. I mean, I know in high school you start experimenting. Like people start experimenting. That's like the years of people getting into trying to experiment.
Right.
But 9 years old, what are you going to say?
And also, I don't know that that would have benefited you at the time, you know, having to deal with that at that age. How does that affect you as far as like your interest in that kind of stuff growing up? I know for me, with my dad's cancer, I feel like I have a giant clock over my head that says, you know, you have this much time remaining until you're going to pass away, just because of the nature of my dad dying at 51. Has any of that kind of affected how you approach your life?
I just stay away from drugs and everything, of course. I mean, I don't advocate for that at all. But I just stay away from that because I know my father passed away with that.
Right.
So I kind of just, I mean, unfortunately, when you lose your dad at a young age, you don't know. I feel like I didn't learn how I should have been treated by a man. I got a glimpse of it, but I attracted people who had so much trauma like I did before I started healing. Mm-hmm. So I did it. Unfortunately attract drug addicts and stuff. I did date one once. So it's just like that repetition, as you know, of that unhealed trauma.
Right.
Until we heal that trauma, we break the generational cycle, because we grew up without a dad, technically, into our adult life of our dating, first boyfriend, prom. So we don't even know what to look for.
Right.
I got a glimpse of this amazing happiness with my dad's relationship. But then it went away. So constantly I have this fear of people are just going to continue to leave me. People are continuing to leave me. And then, unfortunately, I attracted men who didn't even love themselves and had their own trauma which did result in them leaving me.
Right.
But it felt like, oh, everyone's just leaving me. But in reality, it was just the men I attracted didn't even love themselves. So how could they love me?
Right. It's interesting. I've done a lot of therapy myself in the last 5 years, and it's a lot about like the self-fulfilled prophecy that I have a lot of shit in my family too. And it's like a finding, you know, first traumatic boyfriend of finding someone who was like super self-centered and hated themselves and took it out on me. And it's like, I got into therapy and went, oh, wow, I'm exposed to this as a child, and that's why this is familiar, and wow. And so it's funny that therapy can be so empowering, but it can also be so painful. What do you think the game changer was for you where you, I know we can say, yes, we decided to break the cycle, but I think it takes a lot of work to break the cycle. It can't just be an overnight decision. It takes time. What was that breakthrough for you?
Of course. So I was dating someone for about 2 years, and we broke up, and it was just so traumatic for me. It's still hard to talk about. And I literally at one point wanted to end my life, and I don't think anyone should ever feel like they need to end their life over a man or a woman. Like, we are worth so much more in life. And now that I'm healed and I'm coaching other clients, I realize I'm like, our life is way too precious to put all of that, those emotions on one person.
Right.
But at the time, I was so broken inside because absolutely. I never healed from my dad's passing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I blocked it out for 16 years.
Right.
So not only I felt like I was reliving that pain again, mm-hmm. I'm also dealing with a relationship I'm attracting with which was with an older man, because obviously I attract older men. Mm-hmm. Has to do a lot with my father. And my ex breaking up with me was the hardest thing I've ever dealt with, which I didn't even want to be here anymore. And I decided, I had my therapist at the time, and she kept pushing me before I'd go to the Meadows, which is this like rehab place. The health and wellness place in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I kept pushing it aside. But after that breakup, I was like, this is a sink or swim. Either I'm not going to be here tomorrow, or I'm jumping on that plane and getting the help I need to heal from all this trauma and all this shit that I had been through and this breakup that made me feel like I was nothing, and live my life the way I should. So honestly, what saved my life literally was going to the Meadows in Wickenburg, Arizona. This 5-day retreat I spent over $6,000 of my own money on, because I really needed the help. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you realize that things are so tough in your life and you're about to break, that is when you realize, oh shit, I need to heal, because I'm going to do something that I'm going to regret, and I'm going to hurt everyone else around me who care about me.
Right. I really identify. I had a very similar experience that, you know, I'd never dated anyone. I dated, my first boyfriend was way older than me, narcissist, abusive. And then sure enough, like 4 years in, find out there's all this infidelity, and I left. And mm-hmm. it was the very first time in my whole life that I ever considered ending my life, because I felt so worthless, so beaten down. And it was that same thing. I literally had that moment of like, if I don't get into counseling, I'm going to kill myself. And mm-hmm. and that's after losing my dad and all these things happening in our life. And I realized once I got into therapy, it exactly was like that. It was like the Indiana Jones ball just picked up this relationship and threw all the shit from the past and knocked me completely flat. It is something that is so hard, because I do think that children who lose a parent early have this terrible fear of abandonment. And and that's kind of what the therapist was saying, is like the self-fulfilled prophecy. I'm going to get left. But by going to therapy, I learned and empowered myself of how I was supposed to be treated, because my dad was gone most of my life. I never dated anyone. I was like such a prude at home with my retainer and my back brace. Like, it was not, I did not have a sexy high school.
I had a back brace too.
Yeah. Besties. Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. Me too. So it's like it's not a sexy time to be in high school. And I think that there is so much freedom in learning these things in therapy, but it's also, I personally, for me, I felt so much shame, so much embarrassment, realizing like, wow, I was attracted to this kind of person for X, Y, and Z, but really being fiercely accountable to not make those decisions ever again. Like, so what advice would you give someone who has lost a parent?
I would say, allow yourself to feel every feeling you're feeling from the second you lose them up until you feel like you not don't feel anymore, but just, I know a lot of us, like myself, I was young and I just I was too young maybe, and I just wanted to pretend it didn't happen and just continue on my life, hang out with my girlfriends, but in reality, your pain's going to resurface. If you don't address it, it's going to continuously resurface in really bad ways, whether it's dating other people, whether it's experimenting with drugs, alcohol, sex, being super promiscuous. I was guilty of that. Like all of this, trying to find that I want to feel valued. I want to feel enough. I don't want to feel left like I was with my parent. Mm-hmm. So what I advise always, even clients, is you got to feel it in order to heal it. And grief comes in waves. I'm sure you can agree.
Absolutely.
Some days you'll be like, oh, I'm great. It's been 3 days. Next day you're like, what the fuck? Like you're just a mess. And it's just, and that's how I explain it. It's grief comes in waves, and some waves are tidal waves and some are not.
Right.
But you can go 2 weeks great. And then one day you can feel like you're back at square one, and that's grief. That's okay. Mm-hmm. There's no like stairway of like it's all
over.
No.
Yeah, it is. So what, tell me, just because I know you're in a great relationship now, life is looking good. What are some boundaries that you recommend for someone to put in place for when they have kind of these circumstances that have shaped them into who they are?
Of course. So first I would say, prior to getting into any relationship, and if you are currently in a relationship, that's okay. It's a little harder, but not impossible, is start with your self-love. Love yourself. You have to love yourself. In order for you to love yourself, you're able to love others. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us who do lose a parent is have a hard time loving ourselves. And it's just, I feel like that's a repetition type thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what's the most important. So once you love yourself, you're going to be able to create these more strict boundaries for yourself. Mm-hmm. And like they say, treat yourself how you would treat your friend, like your best friend. Mm-hmm. Today I was on Instagram and I saw this lady's video and she said, imagine your best friend was running a race and she was slowly about to fall down because her knees were giving up on her. Would you tell her you stop that? No, I would get the hell into that in the race and tell my girlfriend, you're going to do great. Keep killing it. Let's do this.
Right.
And that's how we should treat ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I would say third person or second person, look at yourself through your perspective of, if I was your friend.
Right. Right.
How would you treat her? And what would you want your friend? Would you want your friend to be in a toxic relationship, an abusive relationship? Hell no. But which means you should treat yourself the same way. But it's really hard, I feel like, sometimes for us. We could tell our friends, you deserve the best, but it's like, okay, we do too.
Absolutely. And it's funny, like even when you're in a relationship with someone, I'm not sure about your current partner, but like with my boyfriend, he's never lost a parent. And having to explain all these things, mm-hmm. like I am super at the beginning of the relationship, I'd be like, where are you going? Text me when you get there. Where are you? And he was mm-hmm. like, huh? At first, like, is this girl like keeping tabs on me? And then he realized, oh, she's scared I'm going to die. And it was like, yeah, I'm not worried about other people. I have a wonderful partner. I just want to make sure like on the 405, you didn't get killed. You know what I mean? Like just those kind of irrational fears that we have as a result of losing a parent early, that even entering relationships and friendships, you kind of have to honor your own boundaries, but also express to your partner or friend, like, look, this is why I'm kind of acting this way. This is kind of why this is coming out sideways. And that was helpful for me in order to not make my partner feel rejected. It was more like, no, you need to understand where I'm coming from. So I think that mm-hmm. when you love yourself, an act of love for me is being transparent about my circumstances. Exactly. Like saying like, hey, I know that these are some issues that I'm working through, but if we talk about them, they're out in the open and you're not wondering what's wrong with me. And I'm not resentful that you're not reading my mind.
Exactly. I'm here in communication, even my relationship now. I mean, back with my ex, it was like, so hard for me to communicate. I think I was in a super victim mentality, and I was super like sensitive, which is okay to be sensitive, but I don't think I was allowing my ex-boyfriend to be transparent with me, which I think had a lot to do with my unhealed trauma. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was getting attacked, or I felt like everyone was doing something bad to me, even though a lot was done to me in that relationship that was not good. But I still felt like I had that victim mentality. And now that I'm more healed, I have the mentality of putting myself, I put myself in these situations and decisions. You know, it's not just the other person, it's me too. And right. That's how I look at it with a lot of things. And I think communication is huge. In my current relationship, it's all about communication, which is a lot different from what I'm used to. Right. I'm like, wow, you can actually talk without yelling
right.
and get a point across.
It's a miracle. Yeah.
And that's how I was. And I also was acting out with drinking. And I probably have one drink now, like every now and then. I don't drink. I used to get drunk and I'd try and fight people and people, like, it was just bad. But it was all of my trauma that resurfaced sure. when I was drinking, and obviously it comes out. But now that I'm in like a healthy, it's healthy, but relationship, it's still really hard to adjust to knowing I deserve to be treated sure. like a queen. And sometimes I become very avoidant, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that my boyfriend he tolerates it, and he is very accepting and right. understands where I'm coming from.
Right.
So he doesn't lose patience or anything. Some days I literally would like not talk to him for like 3 days, but it's just because I was super avoidant, because sure. I'm like, this is weird. He treats me way too good. He's way too nice. But now I'm realizing, I'm like, shit, we deserve that. We're right. We are just so used to guys that treated us like shit. And then when we have a good guy who wants to treat us like a queen, we're like, wait, you're chasing me? I mean, I usually right. chase you.
Right. And it's funny because it's like, you can say men are assholes, but maybe it's just that, like, the childhood trauma chases assholes. Right. And then it's kind mm-hmm. of this thing I called my boyfriend for the first year, Dateline. I was like, all right, Dateline. Because he was so nice that I was like, I'm going to be on Dateline. I'm going to get killed by this dude and chopped into a million pieces. And really it was just because I was so overwhelmed by the fact that he was good and that he was kind to me and that he was monogamous and compassionate and understanding and patient and present. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? And so for a while, it was like this dance of like, let me see how far I can push him away and see if he stays. I push him as far away as I can, right? And then I remember switching therapists, and my original therapist gave the new therapist a note and said, he's a great guy. Don't let Laura fuck it up. I was a little written in because it was like, yeah, because it was, I have like the most wonderful partner for me. And I was like, I'm going to give this an expiration date of till February, because I'm so fucking terrified that I'd rather ditch him before he ditches me. And it's been over 4 years now. And I'm so grateful that he was patient and compassionate.
God, that's so awesome.
So it sounds like your boyfriend's giving you that same space that we do want love. We do want acceptance. We do want security. And the terror of getting left can be so blinding that mm-hmm. We can fuck ourselves over.
Exactly. And I just feel like, yeah, like you said, sometimes it feels like too good to be true, or you feel like, I don't know, I think a lot of my past relationships is like, I said I wanted a relationship, but every single person I attracted was emotionally unavailable.
Yep.
I can count literally like all of them on my hands, and they were all emotionally unavailable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do we expect someone to be available? Like, if people are still dealing with their own trauma, which was my case, I was dating people who still had childhood abandonment. Like, it was trauma bonds. Like, my ex has childhood abandonment. I have childhood abandonment. So it was two hurt people trying to make something work. But it's like, if both people are not healed, what's going to come out of it?
Right.
Toxic.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's okay. I mean, some people haven't healed yet. And like I said, everyone has their own thing, but it wasn't his fault. It wasn't just my fault. It was, we unfortunately attracted each other when neither of us were healed.
Right. So let's talk about healing. You have gone on to, you know, become very passionate about coaching others. Tell me what your focus is, what your goals are, and how do you help people?
Of course. So I'm a life and healing coach. I work with women who have dealt with childhood trauma, childhood abandonment, and I help them find who they really are deep inside through self-love, healing your inner child, which is huge because, of course, when something bad happens to us when we're younger, our inner child is what gets wounded, and that's what gets brought to us all the way until adulthood until we want to actually stop the cycle or stop resurfacing that pain. So I help women heal their abandonment wounds, childhood traumas, and help them find themselves again and love who they are and just be themselves with boundaries.
Right. So what do you think is the most rewarding thing about what you do?
Most rewarding thing I would say is helping people get to the point of healing, not having allowed themselves to get to as far as I got and when I was broken, mm-hmm. like saving them. Mm-hmm. Because the whole reason I got into coaching was like, I am like, I need to stop this shit because I almost literally killed myself over it. And every time I talk or think about it, I get emotional because it was so real of how I was feeling. So I was like, I need to be a coach and help these women who are dealing or in similar spots, but haven't gotten as extreme as I got myself into, and help them before it's too late. Mm-hmm. And that's what the most rewarding thing is helping these women before they feel like they have to consider ending their life.
And where can people find you?
Right now, I only do Instagram at the moment. I'm in the middle of creating my website, but they can find me at Janelle.Gorman. So GENELL.GORMAN. That's on Instagram. And also you can email me at Janelle.Gorman@gmail.com. Again, GENELL.GORMAN. I'm currently focusing on one-on-one coaching. Eventually I'll have mastermind and group coaching, but my main focus is helping people individually. I feel like that gets a lot, a lot of people get a lot from that.
Absolutely. I think there is so much, especially for those of us that are afraid of being abandoned, it's the one-on-one experience is so special because I think a lot of times we don't feel seen or validated, and to have that one-on-one experience is just so unique and makes us feel empowered and seen.
Exactly. And another thing, which I feel like what I bring a lot of is I've been in therapy since I was 3 years old, and I'm still in therapy, different therapists, but I'm huge on therapy. But one thing I realized with this is through losing a parent and just childhood abandonment, it's nice to have someone who's been through the same thing mm-hmm. and are helping you go through it. Sometimes you have a therapist who, of course, they've studied and they know a ton and everything, but they haven't lived what you lived. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's nice connecting, and that's why the difference between a life coach and a therapist is I have been there, done that, healed, been to the worst of the worst, but I've come up on top, and I know anyone can do that. So I have the tools that helped me to help others.
That's amazing. So I have two final questions for you.
Of course.
Where do you think your dad is now?
I believe in God. Everyone has their own beliefs, and I'm very accepting of that, whether it's God, universe, whoever you feel God is. But as I've been able to heal, I realize more that he's with me. He's been with me the whole time. And I just kind of, now I embrace his presence. Maybe I think a couple days ago I was super emotional over my dad, and I don't even know where it came from, mm-hmm. but I have this teddy bear that a lady had made when my dad had passed away, and it's made out of his work shirt, which mm-hmm. is so cool. Very and cool. I was just hugging that, and I was allowing my inner child to just feel. And I still have those days. It's not like just because you're a life coach and you help others doesn't mean you're a freaking robot.
Right.
I still have my days, but I'm able to maintain and control my emotions to help sure. others as well. But I feel my dad's around, my presence, and he's helping me, guide me through this journey of mine. Previously, I was a realtor in Boston, but I had this calling, and I knew this was my purpose of being able to help women on such a deeper level of something I'm so familiar with.
I love it. So final question. If you and your dad could have an adrenaline junkie day together and sit down at the end of it, what would you say to him if you could?
So we'd first go skydiving.
Okay.
And then I would say, I would just tell him that I understand that I don't know what he was going through when he was dealing with drugs and everything, but I forgive him. And I can't wait to see him on the other side again and reconnect with him. But I would definitely make sure that to tell him that it's okay with what happened. I don't hate him for it. I'm not angry with him for it. I was prior when I first found out about drugs and I was so resentful. But then I realized that people go through things and you don't really know what's inside their head or what demons they're dealing with. So I would just give him a hug and let him know that it's okay. And it's made me one hell of a strong woman.
Absolutely. Well, Janelle, I'm so proud of you. I am so excited to see where your coaching goes. And I think it's incredibly brave being able to share our darkest parts of ourselves to help others and bring them to the light. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And thank you guys so much. Please like, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast. If you could give us 5 stars, that would be awesome. It helps people find the podcast and support the community of those of us going through grief. And yeah, thanks, guys.